true, that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions he asking. You find them inside you, beside you, reciting the records of Kashuk. We laughing, we drafting the passion through fabric. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listeners, listen, we traveling. Consciousness is always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's pass it. To top it off, the host are the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
Yep, it's working. Everything's working.
Mm-hmm. All right, recording, good. Chewing, almost done chewing. Look what I have.
Condoms, Magnum condoms.
Mm-hmm. They're just here in my desk drawer because we found them like on a shelf somewhere when we were cleaning and we were like, what are we going to do with these?
Now, was it you that told me, somebody just very recently told me that they literally are exactly the same size.
Really?
Yeah.
What a scam.
Because people just need a little ego. I don't know if that's true.
I don't think it's true because I've been through some moments in my life where let's just...
Where someone was like, did they try one and then go, that doesn't work. Now put the other one on. And
they didn't have to say, oh, that doesn't work because you looked with your eyes and saw that does not fit that thing.
I mean, you've seen how big condoms can get.
Uh-huh.
A small condom can go gigantic.
Yeah, but they're very tight.
I guess so.
I don't know. I've seen it occur. I've definitely seen it in with my eyes.
I'm going to Google that, and you know, the internet never lies, so.
Perfect. It'll be great.
It'll be perfect. And I actually don't care at all.
Well, I'm curious, though. I want to know if we're being scammed about Magnum condoms.
Well, the other part of that was that apparently on the space shuttle, they have a particular sort of condom-like thing that they have to pee into, like this sleeve that has to like seal and pee into it. Otherwise, you get little droplet globules everywhere. And they were small, medium, and large, and everybody was choosing the large.
Oh, God.
And they weren't fitting, and so they were getting back spray, and they weren't snug.
Oh, God. Oh,
and
God.
So they had to change the names to like large, extra large, and mega or something.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Again, totally unverified. This was just told to me by the same person who told me that the condoms just the other day.
I feel bad for the astronauts having to wrestle with the question, do I say small, medium, or large?
Right.
Who's going to say small?
Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, but in the moment, if there's dudes around,
right.
Are you going to be like, I'll take a small, please? No, you're not.
Yeah, I'll just reach in and fucking take the thing I need.
Yeah, but what if people are watching and they make you say it out loud with words? You don't mind?
Well, I don't. Well, I mean, this space thing, you also heard that the first time they sent a woman into space for 3 days, they sent 100 tampons and it wasn't even her time of the month.
100. Okay.
And that one has been repeatedly verified.
Well, that's like the opposite, though, isn't it?
That's just...
ignorant.
Yeah, it's just about like, yeah, ignorance. It's not the same. It's related, but not the same at all. But it's like, why can't we just like know things instead of having other weird shit attached to it? Like with the, you know, oh, they could have asked any woman.
Well, that one seems very obvious.
A tiny bit of research. But because we have all these thoughts around those things, we can't just be direct. And also with the small, medium, large, it's ego, but it's like...
It's judgment, not thoughts.
Yeah, exactly.
Or judgy thoughts, you could say.
Yeah, it's judgy thoughts.
But like, you know, that's like saying, why do humans have to have judgment? Well, good question.
Why we wouldn't have a podcast if they didn't?
We wouldn't have anything, really, except that we could. It's just like humans aren't ready to live that way.
Yeah.
But it's an excellent question. I mean, come on. But also, like, what? Let's be very real. What man do you know that if in a public setting someone said, we have these pee condoms for you, pick one, John, small, medium, or large? Oh, and your boss is here and your colleagues are here. Which one do you pick? Who is going to be like, I mean, whichever one is true? You would?
I think I would.
No, you would not.
I would not say large. I would probably be like, probably a medium.
Your face.
Let me try the medium. Because medium's fine.
It's totally fine.
Small might be, there might be some shame attached to that still.
Mm-hmm.
Remnant shame. But at this moment in my life,
yeah,
I think I would probably be fine going, yeah, medium. And I think that's true.
I hear you. I think you're unique in that. And I like that about you.
I think a number of men, but maybe not astronaut. I mean, astronaut is also a particular kind of guy.
Right.
There's military, there's, you know, test pilot.
Right.
You know, they're scientists, but they're also like, they can do 100 pull-ups, you know.
You got to be pretty fucking tough to go like, yeah, I'll go to space in a bus.
You know, you'd think that guy, he's fucking tough. He doesn't have to fucking prove anything. Would be fine with going like, yeah, I got a small dick. Watch me do 100 pull-ups.
I don't think that's how it works.
It should be.
Uh-huh.
In my world, it is. I'm pointing at the screen right now.
On human Earth, I don't think humans, we can't even get them to stop killing each other with bombs.
No.
I don't think they're ready to own their penis size.
No.
Sadly.
Wow. That's a horrible comparison in truth.
It's true.
Ugh.
You're making me think about, I had it and then it went out of my brain. I came down and didn't see your play. We can talk about that too.
Katie came down to Carmel, where I am doing a play. She came all the way down.
2.5 hours down.
Brought our best friend Rami with us. And we went kayaking on the Slough.
The Slough.
The Slough.
And
Slough.
And we brought Chauncey McChauncerson, Eric Vogler.
He's got all the names.
And Squeezle the Dog was in attendance.
And Squeezle the Dog, who was hilarious. I mean, it was kind of a trip about a dog to a certain extent, probably for you more than any of us.
Yeah.
Because the whole time was just like you coping with having a dog on your boat.
It was pretty funny. At first, it was harder than later because at the beginning, she was shivering it from being cold and scared. But then she shifted gears into wanting to murder the otters we were kayaking by. We saw otters, America.
We saw so many otters. So many otters that it became unremarkable.
It's like, eh, you go, otters.
You know, we were going, oh, over there, 12 o'clock, right there. Oh, my God, off the left side. Oh, look at that. There's 5 of them. Oh, my God. And then by the end, it was like, oh, yeah, there's another one over there.
Yeah, so many otters. Every otter that was around, we saw it. Dozens and dozens of otters. But Squeezle never got over it. She was on the front of that kayak in the foggy cold, shivering in her life jacket that I have one of for her, which was very cute. But she was shivering from, as we talked about, murderous rage and tensions. She was like, I need desperate to murder the otters.
Who would just eat her.
Rip her to shreds instantaneously.
Playfully.
With glee.
They would playfully destroy her.
Like juggling nothing. She would have no chance. Yeah. But luckily, the Chihuahua part of her, because the rat terrier part was like, murder. But the Chihuahua part was like, ooh, water, ill. So she's not getting off that boat. So it worked out great. So about halfway in, I was like, I'm over it with the dog because she's just mad. She's not scared or sad. So I can deal with mad. Anyway, but I think the harder thing for me was just that was a real workout. We did like some real arm work.
I'm sore today in a good way, but not bad. Like pain, not pain, but like I feel it.
Yeah, I think it's going to hit me tomorrow. I'm usually like a day and a half later person.
Honestly, I have been swimming every single day, which is all arms. So like I have been, my arms and chest muscles are pretty well.
Ready for it.
Ready for things. And so I didn't get too exhausted. I was proud of myself.
That's cool. But then you did your play. We all had food. Then you did your play. Rami saw the play. Rami just absolutely gushed about the play and how good it is. So I'm coming next weekend. I've already decided.
All right. Figure it out.
Like it's done. I'm coming either Friday or Sunday.
Okay.
And it has to happen. So everybody listening, if you can get down to Monterey, Carmel area, apparently, according to the Rami, who we all trust and love implicitly, you got to see it. You have to see it.
It's called Cymbeline. It's playing at Pacific Repertory Theater Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night at 7:30. It's an outdoor theater. Bring warm clothes and also be ready for it to be hot. It's so confusing.
Oh, weird.
We've had too hot. We've had rain and fog.
Ugh.
And we've had really cold. So
you're not selling this well.
It's fun. I love that about outdoor theater. Like, as long as you're prepared,
right.
It's a fucking blast.
Got you.
And we've always been fine. We did it in rain.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, not like pouring rain, but like misty, misty wetness, constant misty wetness. And that was kind of fun. We're like, fuck, we're doing a fucking play.
Rock on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like any of that, but I'm very impressed that you do, and I think it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool. So those are updates. There's a major, why am I, my brain.
You did a big thing this morning, probably. I don't know if you want to share about that.
Yes, I did. I got to go to, oh my God, I'm like still bouncing from it. By the way, oh, this is it. Nah-duh. I think I am now, I really need to count days. So I need to like look at the calendar. I think I'm 9 or 10 days off espresso.
Okay. No caffeine or just?
No, caffeine. Just not espresso, which was causing me really, really bad back pain, nerve pain, oof, just constant issues.
Still coffee, just not espresso?
No coffee at all.
No coffee-based anything?
No. I have been having black tea and in the mornings, one hot, and then later in the day, like a cold iced tea like I have here.
Okay.
And or a Diet Coke. But I don't have consequences from that, knock wood, so far. It's been like years of consequences from espresso and just like pushing through.
Yeah.
So it's like a big deal for me. I'm very happy about it. In the 9 days since I've been off it, I had one triple shot about 7 days. I think it was like 3 days ago. And I muscle tested and it was like a yes. And it was like, okay. But the guidance was like, yeah, but don't get back on the horse. Like you can dabble today, but don't you ride that horse. And I was like, okay, I will ride that horse. But luckily after those first 3 or 4 days, it's so far so good. I get cravings sometimes when I'm out and everybody's having one or like.
Yeah, it's purely experiential now. I have no need for the caffeine. That's not true. Yesterday for the show, I took a nap in the afternoon because we were all so exhausted after paddling. And if I take a nap, it just ruins me because then I'm in a different sleep pattern.
Right.
And then I drank coffee right before the show. Also, I knew I had to drive 2 hours home after the show. So
yeah, that's part of why we like couldn't do it. Yeah. I mean, fuck it. If you can do it, do it. I'm just very proud of it. That's like, let me put it to you this way. When I was 23, a long time ago.
It was a very good year.
Many moons passed. When I was 23, I got sober, was sober for 15 years. The minute I got sober, I was never into coffee before that. I got sober. 1 minute later, I started drinking several espressos a day. And I have never stopped.
Yeah.
For 23 years.
Wow.
And have had on and off bad consequences.
I don't think I knew that. I thought that it had been kind of an on and off thing for you and you would go through phases of having it. No.
No, sir.
And that you'd even tried to quit before. Wow, I've just written a whole story.
I have tried to quit before and just fully failed. Like had a day, maybe 2 days off of it and then been like, this is not, life doesn't matter if I don't have it. So this is a very big deal for me. And the fact that sadly, I have no like hero story about it because I didn't like choose from my higher self to make healthy choices for myself. No, I hit bottom with like a lot of physical pain, which is how most people choose.
Well, yeah. I'll tell you what though, you're probably going to be able to like start an IRA because of this. Like, that is an expensive fucking habit.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
It's like a pack of cigarettes.
Start an IRA. God, it's real. Every morning at Pete's. Every morning.
And time.
Time and energy. Anyway, so just, you know what it is? I'm happy my back doesn't hurt. I'm happy I'm not having nerve pain.
Amen.
I just am like, thank you, God, for my willingness to like treat my body okay today, you know? For a lot of years, it was like, well, I have to give up so many other things. Fuck you. I'm not giving this up. And my new version of that is.
My new fuck you.
Yeah, my new fuck you to the universe is, well, I gave up espresso, so I'm eating what I want. And yet, it's not entirely true. I feel quite willing. That's not entirely true. I'm just not willing to fully go into the food plan I got from my Food Intuitive, which I know is the correct thing to do for my body.
Yeah.
Not fully there. Like not willing to fully give up gluten, sugar, artificial sweeteners, nuts. Like I had a lot of shit on my list. And I'm like, I'm not willing. But I do mostly none of any of it. Like I'm like 60% off of that stuff. So we'll see. One day at a time.
I think I'm about 80% with like cheats. I don't even call them cheats. Like I've taken most of those things out of my diet and then sometimes I have them.
Yeah, exactly. Like that.
But it's almost never in my own home. it's, you know, I go over to a friend's house. And also we do, and I'm not supposed to have any alcohol either, and I definitely do it. We do a tradition, a Bay Area post-Shakespeare tradition called Zanies every night, which is basically just doing a tiny sip shot of whiskey with the cast after the show. And we have gotten that going with this cast. Someone's always like, I'll bring the next bottle and stuff. And so, like, I am drinking four nights a week, but just a little bit.
Yeah, that's, if it works, it works, right?
Yeah.
So that's that thing. The other update I have is that I had a meeting this morning, which is why we had to leave early last night and not see your show, and why I'll be driving back to Montecito or wherever the fuck you are. Monterey. Really great meeting. There's a big, beautiful house that a newer realtor in the area is looking to have me stage. It's in Oakland, like blocks from you, by the by, on the other side of whatever street that is where the two gas stations near you are, kind of up that hill.
Yep.
Oh my God, stunning house. Craftsman.
It's MacArthur. It's across MacArthur. Yeah, there's a bunch of beautiful craftsmen up there on the way to Piedmont, but not Piedmont.
That's it. Big, beautiful, two-story. And it's kind of a perfect gig for me at the moment. I won't bore us all with the staging details of it. It would just be a dream job to have as my first Bay Area formal job, even though we're counting Eric's condo as my first job because I have redone this entire fucking place. You got to come over.
But that, okay, I want to, maybe this is an interesting topic. Is there a difference between decorating and staging?
Yeah.
Like what you're doing at your house is not staging because you're making also practical, beautiful.
Oh, well, that's design.
Right.
So design, decorating, and staging. We could say they're all three different things.
So what are you doing at Eric's condo, which you could say is your condo too?
It is my condo. It's, well, it's his, but I live here. It is where I dwell. It's, I have redesigned it I've redesigned his place. So paint, new, brand new furniture everywhere. New, all the decoration is new. The art, the bedding, the everything.
Wow.
Like we went to town we're mid project. It's not complete. I'll send you a video later of it if you want to see you'll see it. Anyway, it's been a big project. So I have before pictures of what it was before, and then I'll have after pics, which I can use to market the staging business, which is actually helpful. Because with staging, what you're doing is you're bringing in literally everything I just said. Furniture, rugs, art for the walls, tables, plants, everything. So it's kind of a big undertaking, you know? So you're designing and then you're moving stuff and then you're putting things up, some of which don't have to be, like, for example, a lot of stagers use not real mattresses for beds because you don't have to sleep on the beds. They just have to look like a bed. So there are these like staging beds that are cardboard. So you can do that. But like, and the plants are usually plastic plants, but you know, you have to have lamps and art and desks and end tables and rugs and all kinds of shit. And there are these companies you can rent from. So for me, I'll be doing a combo of like using my own materials that are in the warehouse that I have and then using rental items per job. Anyway, this job this morning, we had to leave early because from your show, I had to meet these lovely people, nicest couple. Holy crap, they were great. The realtor's a really nice guy, just a great team of people. So I get to, by end of day today, send them an invoice and be like, here's what it would cost.
Jesus.
And that's the nerve-wracking part where you got to like get it right in the pocket where they'll pay it.
Right. Like Matt.
And you're guessing, right? I mean, I'm not.
Like, what are they going to be willing to pay? I don't want to undercharge because then I'm screwing myself, but I don't want to overcharge because then they'll say no.
So I do a lot of communicating up front where I'm like, here's the low end version where you don't get this, this, and that. It costs this. Here's the high end version where you're going to get these extra zhuzhy things. And I'm open to discussing this high end number.
Right.
So I kind of present it like I'm giving them a lot of options. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because I'm trying to communicate to them at the beginning, like you can talk with me about these prices. Some of them won't change, but some of them could. Anyway, blah. So that's one of my tasks for today. But very exciting because I'm excited to be launching this new venture and finally getting to use these items I've been gathering that are sitting in a room.
Nice.
It's exciting. A new business. You know what I mean? I love it.
Wild.
It's wild. It's very wild.
You do a lot of businessy business things where you have to name your numbers and name your prices and tell people what they have to give you.
Yeah.
That is the most uncomfortable thing in my heart.
Aw.
Maybe not the most uncomfortable, but that's a bad one's up there. I mean, if I have...
I totally get it.
Yeah. I mean, if I have some rubric that I can just sort of turn to and like depersonalize, it's okay.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, but...
I know what you mean. It's work. It's really work. There's a lot to like negotiate inside yourself to just be like, well, I deserve this. I'm worthy of this. The time and energy it takes to do this is this. Therefore, this is what you pay.
No kidding.
And if you can't, that's all right. Well, somebody else hopefully will. There's a lot of faith too, because you got to be able to be like, I trust that the universe is going to, because I don't have safety nets either. Like I got to,
yeah,
you know, I make money or I don't have money.
Well, you did give up espresso, so you might be okay.
Why? Oh, because all the money I'm saving?
Because you actually don't need this new job at all. That's...
You know, speaking of that, this is a good segue into our guest for today, which, by the way, I am so excited to have her on. Did you get a chance? I don't want to out you if you didn't. We can cut this, but...
I did. I looked at some of it. Yeah.
Okay. I'm just so impressed by her. She's done a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Just like musician, maker, medium. I'm so impressed. Oh, wait, we got an email from her. Let's make sure. Looking forward to it. So that means we're not live, correct? Thanks again for having me. Not live taping. See you soon. See you now. I was worried she was going to be like, I can't be there.
And be like, well, that was 1:30 Eastern, right? I was like, oh, shit.
Ah, poo-poo.
I think she is on the East Coast or in the Midwest at least.
Oh, really?
She has a tour coming up, it looks like, and it's all like Chicago and New York and New England and stuff. So I'm going to assume.
Oh, I hope she didn't think we were on her time, you know?
I do hope. I imagine that the first email exchange was with our very competent booker, who usually is very clear with her communications.
True. Should I maybe text her?
Sure. Or no, you could just email this person back and just...
Oh, I did that.
And you did say, see you now.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, I guess we'll leave that then.
We'll give it 5 minutes and then we'll panic later.
Okay. So yeah, that's big fun news. Obviously, Star Beings is starting up next week, one of my healing classes. So like I'm in that mode of like everything's happening all at the same moment.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of like breathing and take one step at a time, take breaks and then... Hustle, hustle, hustle. Breathe.
Yeah.
Resting. Do, 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 do. Rest.
Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do.
And then that leads me to my question. Because remember, she's going to do a reading for at least me. Maybe we'll have time for you as well.
That'd be fine.
That'd be nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
We could hop right in and see. We could talk to her a little bit and then do that.
We can ask her questions about her life and stuff too.
Yeah, that's what I mean. My point is though, like my question, oh, here she is. She says, hang tight. Something's up with my internet. Be right there.
Great.
Great.
Hopefully it'll be great.
Has to do with like all the things, particularly the theater things that we've been talking about on here that I'm looking at doing in January, February, March. I have like...
Oh, yeah. Find out about that.
Specific questions about that. What else? Anything else on your end that we need updated?
No. I mean, there's been some shuffling around in the theater world for me. I've agreed to do an understudy gig, which was like I had to do a little sit with on that.
In February? That's the February one?
No. The show that I was really hoping to get now, like right after this show closes, I didn't get. And then they kind of... Then they asked me if I would understudy for it. And usually my gut response normally would have been, nah, but as would it be to a lot of people I talk to, right? And my first response was, well, maybe. And then I chatted with Rami, who immediately would have been like, you don't need to do that. And they were like, weirdly, I'm like, yeah. And like every just sort of gut check. And it was all gut check. It was not,
yeah,
you know, it wasn't head check. Head check says no, because that I have a rate sheet in my head that says, yes, no, that is not what I am.
Right.
And then, but all of our guts were like, yeah.
What is it? Tell us.
It's 1984. It's the show at the Aurora that I've been really wanted to be in. And I was bummed that I didn't get cast. And then they came back and asked me if I'd understudy. And I was like,
that's great though. Cause you'll probably get to go on some.
Probably. There's nothing guaranteed. And the thing is it works around all the things that I would have been canceling if I had gotten booked in the show.
Oh, good.
Like a work trip that is going to be really fun with people from Feet First. We're going to, you know, like all these little things that I was like, well, I won't be doing that because I'll be in a show.
Yeah.
Now I can, they literally lined up, could not be more perfect. Like I start work here, which is the day after we get back from the trip and shit like that. So I'm like, okay, things are lining up and I should allow that to.
Good for you.
Speak well.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, high five, bro. And then you have that, you're in the show.
Yeah, then I got booked in another show. Well, I won't say what it is yet, just because, you know, it hasn't been all nailed down. But I did get an offer on another show the day that I got sad about the 1984 thing. I was feeling sad for the first time after a week of not getting cast.
Yeah.
And agreeing to do the understudy. And then I was like falling into a sadness.
Yeah.
And I was allowing it to happen, feeling my feelings.
Good for you.
And like, I was talking to my roommate down in Carmel about it. Like, yeah, I'm feeling sad. And then I like opened up my phone. Hey, we'd like to offer you this role in this other play that you just auditioned for. And I was like, okay, well, thanks. All right. There's the answer to the sad.
So then you didn't feel sad.
I still allowed the sadness to exist. I didn't want to push it out, but I definitely, it cheered me up. For sure.
That's great. Wow. So you're back in the game, brother.
Yeah. For the moment, let's do it.
You're back in the game.
In the game.
It's for real. You're here. Ah, there she
is. Hello. I'm so sorry about that. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Sound great.
Yeah, my internet was like, nah. And then I was trying to get on and then it was Zoom was like, and now's a perfect time to install some updates for you.
What
and I was
is like, it with Zoom and that?
I really also think when you get a bunch of witches together,
yes,
that the internet knows and it's like,
girl,
no, thank you.
Girl, we talk about this all the time. I mean, it's not even like, that's not even a question for me. Like 20 years ago when I went to the first fucking healing school I went to, hi, welcome here. We're so happy to have you.
Hi.
We learned about it. They taught us in my first 4-year healing school. They were like, so machines are going to stop working. Don't panic. You're not special. And I was like, okay, thank you. And then I was like studying with these Taoists at one point and they were like, oh yeah, none of our phones work when we come together. Like it's just at the energetics of it just aren't in alignment with the energetics of this weird, whatever.
A few episodes ago, we had another musician who is also very spiritual on.
Yes.
And her microphone wouldn't stop farting.
Literally, God was farting. It was like, we were like, okay.
That's amazing.
And like, she has good equipment because she's a musician. And yeah. So like, she was dealing with good equipment that was just farting.
Oh my gosh, I love it. God farts in so many unique ways. It's really.
Title of your biography.
Every time a bell rings.
We've been looking at your site and it's just so beautiful. And I'm just so happy you're here. Thank you for coming and being with us.
We should say this person's name. This is.
Oh, yeah. Welcome here, Jocelyn. Wait. Mackenzie. I did.
Hi.
And we should have everybody go look at jocelynmackenzie.com.
Is that MC or MAC?
MAC.
KENCI.
Mm-hmm.
ENCIE.
That's correct. Yes. Thank you. Jocelyn. There's a large contingencies of
QRPT.
It's true. Yes. XML.
Mm-hmm. A lot of spelling moments in your name. A lot of spelling.
So many words, my name. It's a lot of words. It's a lot of name.
I get it. So you're a maker, a medium, and a musician. It really worked out well for you, the alliteration there.
Correct. You know, I took some time to actually kind of hone that, and I'm still kind of working on it, but I think it makes it nice and snappy. Because I could say, I'm a songwriter, I'm an artist, I'm a psychic. Those are all still true. But it doesn't have the M thing that also Mackenzie has. So,
do you do any mime? Mime?
I'm just being silent because the people listening won't know if I'm miming or not.
Right.
Not yet. I'll say that. I haven't done any mime yet. But I surprise myself every day. So I wouldn't be surprised if suddenly
I love it.
Went to mime school.
All right. So I'm a person who's been working in the Akashic Records and all things woo-woo professionally for a long ass time. And I'm bored with myself. But my point in saying that is to say we all have our story, right, of how this kind of stuff awakens in us. So I'm wondering, I saw on your site that there was some kind of big event in 2019 for you. Was that the beginning of it, or was it leading up your whole life, or like, what's your story with your mediumship? How did that all happen for you?
Thank you for asking. Well, so it was kind of like these two separate, really just life-changing events. And the most recent was, yes, in 2019, that kind of kickstarted this as a practice that I have and something that I was pursuing both, you know, learning education-wise, but also starting to offer readings to my clients. But yeah, my whole life I've just been very interested in paranormal stuff. And I was on a lot of spiritual quests as a teenager, just trying to find myself. My parents, growing up, my parents were very, I'll say, flexible. And so they were very tolerant. And there was really no way for me to rebel in terms of like the normal teenage stuff. If I was like, I'm going out drinking, they'd be like, okay, have fun. You know, if I was like, no, they were, you know, they did what they were doing, but it was like, I couldn't do the normal teenage things to rebel. So I kind of took up religion. So it was like kind of the thing that I did, but I got a little into, you know, spirituality.
How to rebel from hippie parents.
You know, you love Jesus. That's what happens. But then, you know, Jesus and I had a little bit of a falling out, you know, we still talk every now and again, but he's a fine guy.
Sure.
But in that process, I kind of found myself having an experience as a teenager with a clairvoyant friend of mine who kind of explained what it was. And I was at her house and she was able to see her relatives who, you know, were still occupying the house. And so she kind of introduced me to this world of explaining what it was and kind of how I could set boundaries with spirit very early on. And so the minute that happened, it was like this light bulb went on and I went home that day and I just I was feeling every energy that wasn't me that was in the house, you know, good, bad, or indifferent. And so I was very, very sensitive. I've always been a sensitive person, for better or for worse. But now I know that it's for better because I have this opportunity to really tune into these other senses that I didn't know that I had access to before that. So I was always interested in it. But then after that event as a teenager, you know, you're a teenager, like you kind of take up interest in this and then you take up interest in that. And then you go to college and then you move and then, you know, things just kind of fell out. But I was always very sensitive to spaces and very intuitive and a lot of synchronicities would happen in my life. So it's not that it's always been there.
Yeah.
Right. It's always been a part of my life. But then in 2019, I was just coming out of a breakup and I was living alone for the first time in my life. And I realized I was like, wait a minute. I can do whatever I want. I was like, I know what I want to do. I want to watch YouTube videos about ghosts until 2 a.m. So that's what I did. And I just started going down this rabbit hole of, you know, somewhat, you know, obsessively educating myself about some of these topics. And then I was having all these experiences. And then I was kind of led to take this mediumship class. And I got there and I gave 2 readings. And then snap, that was it. The door was open and I had to work really hard to kind of turn down the dial to come back into my body.
Yeah, girl. Yeah. So is that, that was actually my next question. Some mediums, the way they work is there's a real leaving of the body and some there's less so. Is that how it goes for you?
I would say now my entering and leaving of my body is very deliberate. And that's something that I do on stage as well when I'm performing and singing. I really can be very in control most of the time of how much space my consciousness takes up and then how I can kind of return back into my physical 3-dimensional body. And so in a reading, it's less about like physically leaving it, but just kind of allowing the space between my cells to expand and open up and allow other people to take up some of that space for a short time. And then saying farewell when it's time to say goodbye.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a really great, I love how you said that. Yeah, the space between my cells. That's how I do it. That's how I would say I experience it as well. That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when I lead the meditation with my clients to like get into the records, I talk about expanding. We do an expansion and a grounding. And so anyway, for people listening that don't maybe do this kind of stuff, it's nice to have language like that that helps sort of, I like the idea of expansion blended with grounding because the opening can be terrifying for people who, you know, for just humans, normal people just having readings. But if they're grounded first, opening is a little less scary, it seems.
Yeah, absolutely. And for me, like a really good metaphor is kind of like electricity. Like if we think about all the different things that electricity can do, one of the things that we know is that if there's an open electric source, if you stick your finger in it, you can get a shock. Right. So we don't necessarily want to do that. But if there's a grounding source to it, like you plug the toaster in, you plug the blender in, the energy has somewhere to go. So how do I, what am I plugging into? And when I'm singing or when I'm giving a reading, I'm plugging into the same source, but I'm using a different appliance to kind of do the job that I need to do.
1,000%. I feel the same way. That's so cool. It's so nice to meet you. Excited noises.
I have a question on that, Jocelyn, because I saw in your stuff that you were either about to do or you have done, I wasn't sure the timeline, this new idea of blending your worlds a little more.
Yeah.
Have you done it yet? So doing reading?
I haven't done it yet.
Why don't you just tell us what that is and then we'll...
Yeah. So in mid-late October of this year, October 19th, 20th, and 22nd of 2023, depending on when anyone's listening to this. But I'm going to be embarking on my first tour where I'm giving a group mediumship reading to the audience, followed by a set of live music. So I've given readings to groups before in person. I've given, obviously, tons of shows, but I've never done them both on the same night. And so I'm trying it out and we're going to see what happens. And I'm really excited to see how it works.
Well, rock on. You'll relate to this. I did a show up in Beacon, New York, where the whole aim of the show was... I write solo shows and tour them, like plays where I play all the characters and stories and jokes and stuff, and wrote a show about the magic of numbers. And then at the end, did a group energy healing for the whole group.
I love that. I hope you bring that back. I want to go to that.
Well, thanks. I'm going to do it in the spring up in Sacramento. So we'll have to invite you. But
yeah.
Are you in the East Coast?
I'm in Brooklyn. Yeah.
Oh, forget it. I thought you were out here.
But I'll go. No, I live in Brooklyn, but you know, I'll go wherever.
How do you know Sophia? How are you?
She found me somehow. I forget. I think we have a mutual friend, but now I'm not remembering.
Oh, I love it.
I hate to say it. When I'm with a client, I'm so kind of in the zone and it's not really me sitting there. So I don't always remember how I know people. I feel terrible. She's lovely though.
I don't remember anything ever anymore at all. I totally hear you. Wait, what was I going to say to you? Oh, yeah. So that the blending of the things. Yeah, that may, I've been looking my whole life to find the way that, like, how does it all come together? And
yeah.
So my version of it is that. And I'm excited for the show in the spring because I'm going to do kind of even more of a blend. I'm going to do some readings throughout the storytelling of the show. And then just psychically. And then at the end, open the records for the whole group, which is a lot. And then... ground and clear for everybody. Anyway.
And we were talking about trying to figure out a way to make an improv comedy show with that. Remember that?
Oh, right. I love that so much.
Because Katie and I also do improv together separately from this reality, but trying to find a way to bring those together.
That is brilliant. That is amazing. I am taking so many notes on this. So first of all, yes, to the grounding after. Thank you for reminding me. I should include that in my show too. More importantly, though, I love this idea and especially incorporating comedy into it.
Yeah.
Because I really feel like that term, like divine comedy, is real for a reason. Like, how many times in a reading, like, it comes up and we're just laughing? Like, I think that people go into it thinking that it's going to be really dark and heavy and serious. And sometimes it is, like, for sure. But then there's other times that it's just so light and funny. Like, spirit is funny. You know, like, humor exists for a reason, you know, like it's not
God
like
God farts a lot in a lot of ways.
God farts all the time. So many God farts. Well, that sounds incredible. And what do you think is the relationship then between like artists and needing to be on stage and this spiritual work that we do? Because I feel like we're not the only people who have that.
Yeah.
Obviously, you have all these guests on your show, but like, what is that relationship like for you?
Between specifically the artistry and the spirit or the stage and the spirit?
Oh, good question. I don't know. Maybe a little bit of both. I'm curious what calls you.
For me personally?
Yeah.
The relationship between the stage and the spirit. The stage to me is just a calling. I need to do that. I got to go. My body says, do that. Same with spiritual work. My body says, learn Akashic Records now. Open, channel, all that. So they're just needs. And so for me, bringing them together just feels like unsplitting myself, doing the most holifying version of what I am.
Yeah.
It's like I always think of it as like putting it all in one place, which is why the show I just mentioned was supposed to be called, this is a fun story, Everything All at Once.
Get out.
And then Everything All at Once, just like that. And then a week, we had printed the materials. We had the marketing posters, the website was built. And then the fucking movie got announced.
I cannot believe that. Of course.
It didn't come out. It got announced. And someone sent me a link, but it was called Everything Everywhere All at Once. And I was like, God damn it. That's a better version of it. First of all. Secondly, I had been thinking that title was with me for 10 years.
Yeah.
And this was finally the moment I was going to apply it to something.
Yeah.
And I missed the boat.
Oh my gosh. Well, did you miss the boat or did you come up with a name that was better?
I missed the boat.
Sometimes the boat gets missed. Well, I feel like there's probably another boat. But also, that to me speaks to this feeling that I have very strongly that I can't really prove, but I have a very strong hunch that like ideas and creativity has its own consciousness.
Yeah.
And it's trying to find like the right host for it, and that idea needed to be had and heard somehow. And maybe this wasn't your boat, but...
Right. Well, one way that it's taught by a lot of people is the idea that ideas live in the collective consciousness. They're floating in the air. And so many people have access to them. The question is, who's going to grab it, activate it, ground it, and turn it into something? And that's why I say I missed the boat. I don't beat myself up about it.
Yeah.
I'm just very aware there were many windows of opportunity that opened where I could have been like, that title now, show mine, done. But I didn't. And so I don't take it as I'm not beating myself up about it, but I did take it as a lesson.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like when you have one of those that pokes and pokes and pokes and pokes,
yep.
That, those are like trying to come into being. It's like how people, like a lot of medium friends of mine, when they're going to get pregnant, they know the kid, they know the being, they know the kid, they have a relationship with the being that's about to come in. I had a friend who, this is kind of a sad story, who ended up having an abortion out of life necessity reasons, and which she felt were correct for her and good about. But she's such a psychic and so spiritually tapped in that she had a couple months long chat with the being.
Wow.
To like making amends and being like, I'm really sorry. I know you're trying to come in and I know you want to come in through me. And I get that we have a contract, but I'm going to actually clear the contract energetically right now, do the energy work to wrap that karma up because I can't actually do this now. And because she had all the tools of karma clearing and cord cutting and not having to keep contracts alive just because you signed them in some other dimension, she was able to wrap that up with that being, and the being moved along and she had the abortion and it went smoothly.
Wow.
A lot of times people don't know this, but a lot of times abortions can be rough on the body because the contract is there.
Yeah.
The contract, the spiritual contract is like, I will be the child of you. And you agreed before you incarnated. So it's rough going on the abortion, not because abortion is wrong, America.
Right.
But because spiritually there was like we had a deal here.
Yeah.
And so it can be a bumpy road on the way out. But wait, we got distracted. Oh, yeah. But I want to respond to your other, just one other thought I had, because I want to hear your thoughts on this. The connection between the stage and the spirit we talked about, they feel like callings. The connection with creativity and spirituality, I'd love to say words about that. But I also want to hear your words about it. Because I feel like everybody's experience, right, is so unique to themselves. And I'm sure you'll have things to say. I feel like artists... It's such a natural thing for an artist to just flip a little further over and become a medium or a psychic, because as artists, we're like tapping into the other realms this much. I'm holding my hands a certain amount of distance apart, listener. And then if you just put the wall a little further to the right of the opening, you just get more information. So like creativity is information we're receiving through the vehicle or the antenna of the psychic being of us. So is psychic awareness. One is just, I would say, a little higher frequency because it's a little further away from the body where it originates from. But then you can open the door, as you said, have boundaries at whichever degree you choose, right? Or like you said, play a different instrument depending on what the job is at the time. That's how I see it. And knowing what I know about the realms of consciousness and the layers of the heart, there's a realm, I'm trying to not soapbox here, but I am soapboxing. There's a realm of consciousness in the Sufi languaging of things. They talk about the five layers of the heart and the one past. So we live here in a realm called the Mulk realm, the density, the duality. You're different from me in time and space and all that. Right behind it is there's five layers. One of them is the layer where creativity and the angels hang out. And then right past that is the realm of the soul, where psychicness, you're tapping into the Jabarut. So it goes Malakut, Lahut, Jabarut, unity. I think that's the order. I might be getting that wrong. But point is, creativity is just like one realm out from the like physical form. And then right past that, you get subtler and subtler forms of connection to the all that is. Anyway, that's the Sufi framing. So to me, it makes sense. It's all just, where are you on the dial? What is it for you? What's the relationship? Yeah, what's your perspective on all that?
Totally. I love that word subtle. I think that's really such a powerful word, because I really do feel, I agree that it kind of all comes from the same place. It's just a matter of how are we allowing it to move through the body also. And I think it's that feeling of following our instincts to what end, and playfulness being a huge part of that, right? So like there's this feeling that, like, even as kids, but also as adults, that like there are certain things we're allowed to do just because they're fun. Like, oh, I took a pottery class, you know, it's just like, oh yeah, I put this bow on this Christmas present for you. You know, like we get to express ourselves in these kind of mundane ways, but it's a form of expression that's still very valid to me, and very, it can be very playful. And it's like, well, I don't know why I chose a purple ribbon or a white ribbon, but it's what I wanted. So that's what I did. And we allow ourselves that. And for me, tapping into psychic input and information is literally just being like, well, I don't know why I'm seeing a vision of an owl in front of my face, but I'm just going to say it. You know, like I'm getting those same subtle impulses. They're just from a bit of a more bizarre place, or they don't have as much, like, there's no reason behind, like none of it makes sense. And that was one of the things that I learned kind of early on in my very first class in psychic mediumship, was the least sense that it makes, probably the more likely it is to be true.
Correct.
And similar with this feeling of creativity. It's like, oh yeah, I just wanted to like paint this room yellow. I don't know why, but I just did it. And your friend goes, okay, great. And like, that's socially acceptable. But if you go I have a great example of this. Recently, I was running my errands in my neighborhood, and I just had this nudge. And now at this point, I'm very used to following these impulses, so like I don't have an issue with that. But like, it was just hilarious because I was hearing this clairaudient nudge. It was like, somebody needs your help. Wait on this corner. So I'm like, okay. So, and I ask, you know, I tune in. I'm like, how long should I wait? They're like, wait at least 10 minutes. I'm like, okay, fine. So I had time. So I just like waited on the corner. And 2 minutes later, my friend walks up and she's carrying all these heavy bags. And I'm like, oh, and she's like, what are you doing here? And I was like, well, I heard a voice telling me to wait on the corner. So I did. Somebody needed help. So I waited. And she was like, like, she knows me. So she like knows. But it's that kind of similar thing of like, I don't know why, I just wanted to do it. So I did it. And trusting those impulses and instincts and allowing them to manifest physically through your body into your physical life is just so fun and playful for me. That I get that same joy of that I get when I'm just freely creating. And to anyone who might be thinking like, well, I'm not creative, I don't have a creative bone in my body, it's like, if you make a choice, you're creative. You have created today. If you decided to brush your teeth at 6 o'clock in the morning rather than 7 o'clock in the morning, that's creative act. It doesn't maybe feel like that, but to me, it's very strong that like we're building our reality one choice at a time. And, you know, it's not about talent. It's about flow. And it's about joy and pleasure and play and allowing ourselves to communicate with those things.
I would also add receptivity. Like you're
totally
receptive. A lot of people, that's a real, takes a journey for them to get receptive.
Sure. And I think too, that the thing is less about learning how to be receptive, but learning that we're already receiving and we second guess ourselves. You know, we just every time it's like, oh, I hear this thing. Oh, well, that's silly. I shouldn't do that. Oh, it doesn't make sense. Oh, I don't have time for that. Oh, no. We end because of being a human. Like that's the putting it on hard mode. Like I think so much about being human is like being in a video game. That if, you know, I'm sitting on the couch playing this like two-dimensional avatar of myself, you know, I can give it all the trimmings that I want and dress it up and, you know, give it an avatar outfit. And then it goes out in the world and it does its thing and I get prizes or whatever. And then sometimes I go on these levels where I'm like, oh, I've done this a million times. This is not challenging and not fun anymore. So I'm going to put it on hard mode. I'm going to enter more demons. I'm going to give myself more hills to climb. And the satisfaction of getting over those challenges is the fun part of being alive. And so like for me, learning how to step out of my own way in terms of I'm already receiving. And I actually trust that everybody pretty much for the most part is already receiving. It's just we've conditioned ourselves as humans. And especially I think in our culture, maybe there are other cultures that it's like maybe more acceptable to just be like, oh yeah, I waited on the corner because my voice in my head told me to, you know, like, who knows?
We just don't call it a voice in our head. We just call it, I don't know, I just felt like.
Yeah, exactly. And it could be coming, who knows where that's coming from? I don't mean to discount the internal intuition that we have as our own beings. I'm not saying that those voices are necessarily coming from other places, but if it's our own intuition, if it's a guiding force of some other entity, like, who knows? But for me, the joy of following those and getting out of the way of the, oh, this doesn't make sense, so I'm not going to do it trap has been really satisfying. It's like, oh yeah, I beat the big bad guy at the end of the level. And now,
well,
I get to like decide.
You and Cassidy are people who receive easily, and maybe you don't resist, but Cassidy might be like, artists tend to be people who go like, I received it, but I'm going to doubt it or resist it or not be sure.
That's me.
There are plenty of people I've been working as a healer for 20 years and people do not receive. Plenty of people do not receive. And in fact, I spend years getting them to receive because some people have so much trauma on their heart and on their aura, they can't receive. So a large part of trauma healing is becoming open, which is then like a whole journey people have to go on. So I think you have the gift of receiving, and a lot of people have the gift of receiving, but not everybody does.
Well, what I would say to that, if I may, is that I want to make sure to, because I you know, I've had my own bouts of trauma myself. And sometimes I think that that can like kickstart an opening as well.
Yeah.
But I think that that's a really good point to make, because what I want to be mindful about of that language is that everybody, to me, and this is just myself, but everybody is receiving. But how thick is the layer between the electricity source and like, am I literally sticking cotton in the wad of the wall? And can we get the cotton out?
Yeah. Well, what you could say is, right, the cotton stops the receiving, though. So like the receiving is trying to come in and it can't because you've got trauma in the way.
Exactly.
Basically.
And I've worked with clients who have felt a lot of shame around, oh, man, I'm not receiving. I must not be worthy. And what I say to them is, oh, no, you are absolutely worthy. You are absolutely receiving. The reasons that you're unable to experience it right now isn't because of your unworthiness. It's just because there's shit in the way. So I totally agree with you. And that this feeling of like, you know, getting the stuff out of the way is a tremendous amount of work. And it's really, really hard. And a lot of people don't want to do it. And I spent a certain definite amount of my life not wanting to do it for sure. And then once I was willing to do it, it just was like the floodgates opened and some big stuff came through it that if it had happened a week before, I would not have been ready for that. So I really commend you for working with people to help them safely remove those obstacles, because I think doing it at a time when people aren't ready or they feel forced. But I just always want to like tell people like, no, it's not you. Like, it's all still there and it's possible, but it can be super uncomfortable.
Sure. If people are in judgment of the fact that they can't receive, that's a different conversation. But when you can't receive, it's because there's stuff in the way and it's not your fault, but it is your responsibility.
Sure.
No one's going to clear it but you, unless you don't want to. So that's what having a healing business is helping people clear all that out so they can be receptive to whatever they're here to be receptive for, which is not up to me for sure.
Totally.
So do you mind if I ask you how old you are? We can also cut that if you don't want to say it.
I love talking about my age. In Earth years, I'm 40 Earth years old.
Huh. And what is your, could you share your sun, moon, and rising?
Yes, I can. I'm just laughing because you are my people and I feel so seen. I'm a Taurus sun, I'm a Virgo moon, and a Sagittarius rising.
Huh. Wow. It's a lot of earth to do the things you do.
A lot of earth, and she's got a little fire. She's a little fiery baby.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I'm a human design 2-4 generator.
There we go.
And yeah, that's the whole thing. The hermit opportunist in me loves being on podcasts.
You know that we do readings here, human design.
Oh, love it.
Yeah, it's my business. We go human design, then we do open the records, then we do healing.
Amazing. I'm new to human design. I cannot say that I even begin to scratch the surface of understanding it, but I'm fascinated by it. And I think it's everything I learned about my chart has just been completely spot on.
Totally. I would have said you were 28, maybe 7. Because your energy is so that I'm like, I'm also, you're reminding me of your emphasis on playfulness, and you're having so much fun with it all is very helpful to me. it's nice to see somebody in that place. I've been doing this a very long time. And I'm also, I have a lot of depth circuitry in my chart. So I'm like a deep divey lady. So it's,
I don't know what that means. Depth circuitry. Can you tell me what
that means? I have a couple gates and channels that are all about the, there's a channel called the abysmal, which refers to being like the depths of the, it doesn't mean that, but human design uses
maybe
language.
Kind of does. Cause like it's the abyss and it's abysmal.
It does in the literal sense of the word abysmal, which means an abyss that is deep and whatever. So I take people very far deep in. And when you go very, very far deep in, it's not fun and games. It's deep, deep pain, trauma healing. And then it becomes lighter, 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 fun, fun, fun. But my point is, when I started my business, it was all fun and games. It was so exciting that I had these abilities and I could do all this fancy stuff. And I was very excited. And we made a podcast. And we've been doing all of it a long ass time. And it gets to be work for me. It has. So hearing someone who's like, yeah, 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 about it, I'm like, oh, right. That's fun. That's a nice different energy to play with all these things with. Even using the word playful and in around all of it is like, yeah, let's play with some of that again.
Yeah.
So thanks for bringing your fire. The fire. Hey. Thank you for the fire.
You got it.
So what would be useful for you to, well, two things. Sophia mentioned that you might be willing to do a little reading for the reader.
Yeah.
That would be lovely for me. Take a fucking minute and receive. But secondly, what do we want people to know? Like, what's coming up? Where should they find you? Where's your tour? What can we tell people?
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. So anytime I offer all of my psychic mediumship readings on Zoom. So if anyone wants to just get a one-on-one reading, they can go on my calendar on my website, jocelynmckenzie.com/medium, and they can find availability. It's just on Calendly, so you can just go ahead and book a reading right there. So then I will be doing these live shows of mediumship and music October 19th, 20th, and 22nd on the East Coast. So in Brooklyn, Woodstock, New York, and New Haven, Connecticut. And then, you know, I'm also doing a lot of other projects. I'm always doing something wacky. So I would say just follow me on social media if you want to keep up with all that. And I do have a Patreon where I offer group readings once a month, which is super fun. I really enjoy doing that. So that's just patreon.com/JocelynMckenzie. That's my full name spelled out. And yeah, it helps support my work and helps keep the doors open, which is really great.
What are the social medias? Like, what's your Insta handle?
That, they're all the same, at JocelynMckenz, because it was just too long to do the whole name. So I just took the vowels out of McKenzie.
Yeah.
So JocelynMckenz on mostly Instagram. That's my generation. I'm mostly on Instagram. But I have all the ones.
We're trying to do the ticky-tacky, but we're not.
I'm trying, man. It's hard. As somebody who is also neurodivergent, I just look at TikTok and I just kind of pass out. Like, I kind of can't even handle
it.
I'm just like, this is too much information for me. Like, the grid on Instagram, at least I can look at it and be like, order. Like, it appeals to the way that my brain works. But I'm trying, so. If you see me on TikTok, I will say my most recent TikTok, this has nothing to do with mediumship, but I was on tour. I'm in a band called The Righteous Babes. We're part of Ani DeFranco's record label, and we're kind of all different solo artists that they put together to kind of create this big super group so that we could kind of continue, you know, play bigger shows and do these kind of fun things. And we opened for Ani a few times, and that was wonderful. But my TikTok has some videos that I made of all the reviews of the different Paneras that we ate at all across this one tour we just did. So if you're a fan of Panera,
I love a Panera.
Go watch my TikToks. These Paneras were kind of depressing. So I just a heads up, but I tried to be
pretty important question. Were they different?
Oh, they were very different, Cassidy. Very different. And actually, there were a couple of videos that I filmed that I just didn't even have time to edit because we went to so many Paneras. The thing about being on tour is like there's so many variables that change every day. So to have something that you just like know is consistent is like really kind of important. So even though I'll tell you, Panera is not my favorite. I would like in my day-to-day life, I'm not going to Panera. I just need to make that very clear. But when you're on the road, it's like, okay, I know what I can order. I know it's vegetables. It'll be at least a little bit healthy. So I was like, how can I make this tolerable? I know I'm going to rib all the Paneras that I go to. So check that out. I was very proud of that. Again, nothing to do with mediumship, but that's what my TikTok looks like. So If you're going to be on TikTok, you might as well make it about Panera.
Why not? If you're open to sharing, because I think it would help some people listening, would you be willing to talk about what your particular breed or brand of neurodivergence is?
Oh, sure. Yes. Thank you. I am ADHD, and I am also newly introducing some tools around integrating some autism tendencies. I don't really know the correct language around it, so I don't want to say the wrong thing. But I'm learning how to see myself in a new way through that lens. I'm making a lot of sense to myself when I frame it through that. So I don't have an official diagnosis, but I am using some tools through some therapist connections of mine that are helping me to self-diagnose, and I'm finding it very, very powerful. So it's a journey and learning about that. And I think it's just as important, I think, as learning like my astrological signs and my human design. And it's just like learning how I'm wired just helps me cut out a lot of my own bullshit of like, normally I would be like, well, why am I like that? It's because there's something wrong with me. It's like, no, there's nothing wrong with you. You're just a Virgo moon, you know, like if I can kind of point it back to something somewhere, one of those things is going to land. And not that it's an excuse, but I just think that it helps me integrate myself. That's the word. It's like I can integrate my own, you know, patterns and needs. And it helps me to advocate for myself. You know, I never before, I came into my ADHD acceptance last summer, and it helped me ask for accommodations that I would just never, ever ask for. Like, can you know, if you're going to like send me a big long email, you need to give me at least 2 weeks to get back to you. You know, so if you need something faster, like you need to call me, you know, and just to be able to say that to my people and know that that's not me being demanding. That's not me, you know, anything. It's literally just if I look at a big long email, I'm going to need more time with it. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I feel the same way about the, I teach all my students, we talk about, it's hard for a lot of people. You're like me in that you go, oh, a label, it helps me not judge. Okay, I'm not judging now. But a lot of people I work with, it is not that easy for them. They go, a label, I'm judging more.
Yeah.
And then I have to go, nope, it's a label to make you go, that's why the thing is happening. Now let's build tools to help you deal with the thing, which is a real thing. You're not a bad lady.
Yeah.
Person who's judging herself, but then judgment just becomes the project to work on with people.
Isn't it just...
It's the whole thing. Lest we lose time, because we have to be a little bit tight today on sticking to our time frame. I think we should drop into any kind of reading you're wanting to do, if you're open to that.
I am.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you, and were you going to do one as well, or do you just want this one directionally?
Oh, well, she had framed it like she could do a reading for you. And because of our time frame, I had not thought of it. So I assumed she had said to you, I thought you knew, and I apologize if you didn't.
No, all good. I just wanted to, it's also possible that I saw it and then forgot about it. So
yeah, no worries.
Just wanted to check in this moment. Okay, yeah. So I was just literally asking to determine kind of how much time we have. So how much time do we have?
Cass, where are you at?
I'm fine time-wise. So okay. Right now it is quarter after the hour. We normally shoot to end around half past, but we often go to about quarter till.
Okay. Works for me.
So we have between 15 minutes and half an hour, unless Katie has to get off before that.
I'm actually good with that today, yeah.
Great.
And if we get through it fast, we can read about you if you like. I have a feeling you might have all the info you need for you.
Jesus, well, if that happens, I'm dead. So dead again.
Good.
Remember that. Remember what that was like. Great. Okay. So in that case, and would this be just for you, Katie, or for you also, Cassidy?
It depends on sort of how the time frame works out. I'm okay to like, I don't know how you operate. Do you need to like go into a certain space?
Oh, I'm in it.
Or do you just go, oh, great. That, yeah, never know.
I'm totally here. So what we'll do then, if we'll focus it then kind of just mainly for you, Katie, because that was what we kind of talked about. But then if anything pops up for you, Cassie, we'll allow it in. The only thing I would just need is just like a couple of minutes of breathing together, if that's cool with you. And then if there's, and I like to say a little non-denominational prayer that I wrote myself. And then I like to set the intention. I'll invite you to add anything if you want. You don't have to, though. No pressure. And then we'll just sit in silence for a few moments and then I'll let you know. How's that sound?
Great.
So with that, hold on, let me just get my, I'm going to hide my self view on this. Let's do that. Okay, great. Just a little nice deep breath. And also, let me just ask you too, before we even start, Katie, are you looking specifically for mediumship or psychic work or just kind of whatever comes up?
I have specific questions.
Okay, great.
So however you want to address that is fine.
We can open those right up. Okay, perfect. So I'll start with my little routine here and then we can get to your questions. Perfect. Okay, so a deep breath all together. Two, one more. And just one more for good measure. And I'll start with our prayer. Sweet, divine, infinite, abundant universe, we know you, we love you, we trust you, we thank you. We ask now that our spirit guides, higher power, divine celestial loved ones, ancestors, and all those in spirit, please create a loving shield of protective energy around us this afternoon as we open the channel to spirit and allow only messages for the highest and greatest good for all to come forward at this time. I ask that my spirit guide please clear my mind, heart, body, and spirit so that I may be of maximum service to you. And is there anything that you'd like to add to our prayer or an intention that you'd like to set?
No, you're beautiful. It's great.
And so it is. And with that, the channel is open. How does that sound?
Fantastic.
Okay. So if you'd like to present your questions, this would be a great time.
All right. So I'm going to start. I have a project. Oh, and it's my magic number. It's 218. Anybody who listens to the podcast, it's 218 right now as the channel opens. It's delightful. Okay. So I have a project that's supposed to, the dates are set, the location is there, the clarity about what shape it's going to take is coming into view. I'd say it's like three quarters of the way into view. It's to direct one or two pieces of theater in January to February or January to March in a town called Danville, California. And the questions I have are, like, I keep almost fully committing to it and diving in and then getting nervous about protecting my energy and not overcommitting, because as my own form of ADD, I can overcommit and I have a new business. I'm a stager in addition to being a healer, psychic, all that. So I stage houses and that business is taking off as we sit here. It's great and I'm excited about it. And I'm just concerned that am I overcommitting for January, February, March, given that, this is the end of the question, the majority of the challenge for me, it's not the project, it's not finding the actors, it's not directing the thing, it's not any of that. It's having to fundraise, because what I want to do is walk into the project comfortable financially. That's the goal. So I want to fundraise before January. So I get in there and my rent is covered and my actors are paid for and so on and so forth. So what keeps stopping me is I know myself quite well. And I know that it's only having too many things on the table that would make stepping into the fundraising piece overwhelming in a way that could shut me down. So I think the question is something like, could this unfold in such a way that the money will come, the fundraising will work, and I won't have to be so stressed that it feels like an insane endeavor? Or is it officially just too much stuff to do at one time?
So just to kind of pipe in, is one thing that I tell, and this is Jocelyn kind of adding a note to our spiritual conversation, is what I often will tell folks in a reading is that whatever comes through in a reading is that we have free will. And so the future's not written at all. We get a chance to write it every single day with every choice that we make. So nothing that comes through in a reading is ever like, do this or else, or don't do that, or you won't get the thing that you want. So I just want to say that as like a little disclaimer, which I know that you already are aligned with. But so can you restate your question again? Just the question part. What do you really want to know?
Will the money come, A? B, will it be more stressful to create the money than it's worth to do the show starting in January?
Okay. So what I'm hearing, what I'm seeing, Katie, is, so I'm seeing this wave kind of coming up against a breaker on a shore. So if you imagine like a wall and that's built, man-made wall that's built, and the wave is going to crash anyway. The tide is coming in and out and going. And what's happening is that I'm just seeing the wave just keeps crashing and crashing and crashing and crashing, but it has nowhere to go because of all of this pent up energy. Now, what happens in that wave is that like that's where a lot of energy can be built up and stored to be used for something else, but only if it has somewhere to go. So the feeling that's coming up right now is, can you do it broke? is to be less mindful of the what ifs, what ifs, what ifs. But if we had an opportunity to do it broke, would we do it anyway? If I could do it and just trust that it was going to be taken care of, or that actors would do it for a rate that I could actually pay them that wasn't above and beyond. And again, this is like, of course, knowing that we have all of these values and things that we want to do, and goals are important because they keep it churning and keep it going. But if we're starting off on the foot of what if I don't have, then we already don't have, and we're already not going to have. So to take some of that pressure away for just for now, just to gain clarity, because if we're thinking, and of course, it's like as an artist, we have to sometimes be thinking months in advance, but just for now to keep it to that spiritual trust of not just abundance, but just enoughness, that enough will be okay. That's the wall that needs to come down. Not the should I do it, should I not do it, will I have enough money, will I not have enough money, but to take away the spiritual block of what if, so that you can actually gain clarity on your motives for would I be doing this show if it was just going to happen and I didn't have to put any effort of your own into it. Now, again, saying that, knowing that as a director, of course, you have to put certain amounts of effort into it. But if we can just do that spiritual flushing out first, that will help you find that clarity. Does that resonate with you?
Yeah, I've run the exercise a bunch of, like, there's one that I like. The exercise is, if you had all the money in the world, you know, and that just wasn't a question, would you do this? And that's like a hard yes, easy peasy, no question at all. I'm not exactly interested in doing this without a fair amount of money. I know enough and have been in the field long enough that I'm just not interested in that. It's not fun. It's not creative. I don't like it. So the money needs to be there. And I've raised money before. I know.
Here's what's coming up then about that too. Sorry to interrupt you. That the feeling of enoughness is also about your energy. So if we are doing something that we're engaged in that is actually giving us energy,
right,
we're not too concerned about it depleting us, even though we know through our experience that we have to balance that with that grounding.
Right.
So what do you need to provide yourself for that grounding and know what's going to give and what's going to take? And that can be an intellectual exercise, but is more just about a feeling through it. So the whole thing feels like a yes, and just adding in some nourishing to yourself so that you have the energy. Because if you're taking on something that's like completely outside of your zone, it's like if in this time, you know, somebody's like, hey, can you help me like repaint my whole entire apartment? Maybe you can't do that right now, because unless it's like going to really juice you up. But taking on the things that are going to juice you as you go, and knowing that the process of being in the room, that's going to juice you as well.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it all is juicy, except for the fundraising. So what would juice me is if someone else did the fundraising.
Uh-huh. So is that a question?
Sure. Is there someone who would want to do the fundraising, or the majority of it? I have a few people in mind.
What I'm hearing is ask and keep talking about it. And keep talking about it from a standpoint of it's happening, positivity. I'm looking for someone to do the fundraising. Oh, I can't wait to find the person who's going to do the fundraising, rather than, oh man, I don't want to do this. Oh, if only I had somebody. It's really all about that energetic imprint that you bring to the conversation. People want to help you solve your problems. And it feels like there could be an actor or somebody who might already be involved in it that could be a good match for this.
Yeah.
That they have an investment in it too, that could help them even sink a little deeper into the process.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody who brings a lot of fun to the table.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody who it's like people want to be around them. That's the kind of person that you need on this. And then they get to also tell the story of their kind of win of kind of saving the day as well, in a way.
Yep. I have a person in mind. I'd like to say their name to see how it reads for you, but can we, Desmond, later in the future, can you bleep this, please?
What a light.
Mm-hmm.
What a light. Oh my gosh, what a smile.
Mm-hmm.
And she feels like she has the know-how too. Like she's done it before. She has the experience. And it feels like she's got enough else going on that it's not like her entire identity either.
Yep.
That like she could just kind of take it on as an extra gig and that would be enough. And that even if you had to pay her to do that work extra, you could incorporate that into the fundraising itself, and that it would be taken care of. Does that make sense?
Well, we have a different way of going about it, but yes, it would be taken care of.
There would be some way to compensate her that it wouldn't like interfere with the process. Yeah, that's feeling really juicy. And that she might have some creative ideas about how to go about it that would be different than your creative ideas.
Totally.
And that she can really bolster the project. And it feels like bringing in new eyes even to the show itself because of the connections that she has, that if she were more invested in it in that kind of a way of, oh, yeah, I helped do this whole aspect of it, that those connections of hers would be more likely to come and see the show or come and do their part. Yeah, that feels really good. It does feel like she has a kind of like this, I'm feeling this, I don't know how to say it, like this low level hum of like both stability. And also there's a part of it that is like, I wonder if it makes sense to say like we might be a little doubtful because she's got a lot of other stuff going on. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm, yeah,
like kind 100%. Of a lot of commitments. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, do I really want to ask her and like put one more thing on her plate? What I'm just hearing is it can't hurt to ask. And again, just putting out that spirit of like, oh, yeah, I think it would be great for this, you know, rather than, oh, no, I need some help. This can't happen without you.
Yeah, we've already spoken about it. She's already a yes. So that's not a question.
Okay,
so
great.
My next question would be, is there another person or people who could do a similar thing? Or shall I? Yeah, that's it.
It feels like you are wanting to work with somebody that you know.
Mm-hmm.
There, I'm seeing somebody who's feeling like very kind of, very flamboyant, male presenting, but maybe kind of fluid in gender or sexuality or something along those lines. But someone kind of, I don't know if you know this person. I'm seeing him like in a big space, like just kind of like flailing around. I don't know that this is one specific person to be specifically looking for. Hold on, let me ask about this. It feels like have fun looking. They might be closer than you think, but it might be like 1 degree away.
Mm.
That's what I'm feeling. Like, it's not necessarily that it has to be someone exactly from your contact list,
mm-hmm.
but even if it's just like a one person away connection, that they would have the beef enough. But just keep asking around. You don't have the answer to this, but which is why you're asking the question, of course. But somebody that you know does.
That seems right.
So you're not far from it. You know, just keep talking about it. I'm looking for fundraising help. Okay, great. And then, you know, somebody's going to know somebody who's looking for a job and who's like the kind of perfect fit. And it feels like this person is going to bring a level of excitement to it and fun that you just don't have the energy for right now, which is like, again, why you were concerned about it for sure. Yeah, it's not far. It's not far off.
Cool.
Keep talking about it and keep trusting. It's all gonna unfold. And that skepticism or that feeling wary is like part of the process, which you already know, but just as like a gentle reminder of like, oh yeah, just because we're feeling a little bit like foggy about it sometimes, or not that you're foggy, you're very clear, but this feeling of like heaviness kind of comes up a little bit. But it's just because we're feeling a little heady doesn't mean that it's not gonna happen. It just means, oh right, I just need, that's a signal that like, my nervous system needs a reset, not the whole project, you know, which again, you know that, but just as a loving reminder.
Thank you so much. Cass, did you have any questions or?
You know what? I've been sitting here thinking, wow, we're good. We've got it. That was good. And I don't actually think I do today.
Okay.
I'm feeling very sort of in my center right now, so I don't really have any burning questions.
Great. Love that. Look at that. And 5:31 on the dot.
Boom.
Well, thank you so much, Jocelyn. It's been delightful having you. And once again, let's have you, tell us again your, why not, your website and your medias and your thing so people can find you easily.
Thank you so much. It was such a delight to speak with you both today, and how fun it is to have a sense of humor and just enjoy talking about spiritual stuff and in a safe space. So yes, jocelynmckenzie.com. And I offer mediumship readings online. I play shows. I have music. I have a new music video coming out actually.
Oh,
also.
That's fun.
There is a ghost in it. So you will enjoy that. And hopefully you like the song as well. And I made the costumes and I edited it. And my friend Allison Shearer, who's a wonderful saxophone player, she filmed it and we just had a great time. So I hope you like that. That's called...
Is it out yet or is it coming out?
I don't know when this is airing, but it's coming out on Wednesday. So...
Oh, yeah.
It'll...
This is airing in like a week and a half.
Oh, perfect. So it'll... So I just have this new music video out. It's called You Just Say the Word. It'll be up on my YouTube and it is... it has a ghost in it. So I hope that you like it. It's out on Righteous Babe Records. So I hope you like
that. If there's a ghost in it, I'm there.
It's got so many ghosts.
Let's go. Ghost it down.
Thanks.
All right, Jocelyn, thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you so much. While I have you, I know we are like wrapped.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
Yes.
We don't have to film, but I just have one Akashic Records question. Can I have one question?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
It's probably, I think, just what you said about your friends who had like relationships with their child maybe coming through. I've literally been on this fucking roller coaster of like, should I try to have a kid or not for the last how many fucking years? And I just want to know if I should do it or if it's in there or what's happening with it.
Oh, you mean you want me to open the records and ask?
If you have time. If you don't, I'll hit you up some other way.
Yeah, no. Psychically already, it's a big no on my end, but let me...
Give me more. Give me more info.
Okay, give me a second and I will. I need to breathe.
Sorry. Yes, I'm excited.
And connect in. Okay, well, let's do this then. We'll take 5 minutes to do this. No problem. Jocelyn McKenzie. There's no middle name for you, right?
Well, Sage. Jocelyn Sage. Jocelyn McKenzie. McKenzie was my middle name when I was born. I was born Jocelyn McKenzie Arlington.
Uh-huh.
And then I got married and changed it to my ex's last name. And then we got divorced and then I changed it back. So because I was going through this whole process of like legally changing my name.
What's your legal name on the driver's license?
Jocelyn Sage McKenzie.
Okay. Let me get in your records for just a moment. Let's breathe. All right. And so we do acknowledge the forces of light, asking for guidance, direction, and courage to know the truth as it is revealed for our highest good and the highest good of everyone connected to us. Holy Spirit of divine light, protect me, please, from all forms of self-centeredness and direct my attention to the work at hand. Help me to know Jocelyn Sage McKenzie in the light of the Akashic Records. Help me to see Jocelyn Sage McKenzie through the eyes of the Lords of the Records. And enable me, please, to share the wisdom and compassion that the masters, teachers, and loved ones of Jocelyn Sage McKenzie have for her. And I'll go quiet for just a moment. All right, so as we deepen into the records of Jocelyn, so she's asking if it's in her... How would you frame it, Jocelyn? I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Yeah, no, I trust you.
Is it in her highest good to have a child? Is that the way you'd say it?
Yeah, that's great.
Okay. Would you be doing it like with your husband? Would you be doing artificial insemination?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So I get a no. So I'm going to ask some follow-up questions. So is that because it just wouldn't happen? No. Is that because it would get in the way of other things? Yes. Would it bring other things that contribute to the things she needs to? No. Is this a timing issue? Yes. Okay. But she's, if you don't mind me again, You're 40. We can cut this if you don't want to talk about that.
Yeah. I'm 40.
Okay, great. Does she have time? Yes. 42, 43, 44, 45. 42 would be a good age to start for you. That's fun. Because it's more and more common these days that people, particularly people of your frequency and vibration, are capable of conceiving much later at this time in history. Also, there's some stuff they'd like you to work through in the solar plexus and heart chakras areas, spinal column, nervous system, brainstem. So it's like from the solar plexus up through the heart into the brainstem and into the brain that will create, they show it to me like a baby falls into a soft, nurturing bed of feathers, as opposed to a baby gets pulled and wired and dropped into a reality that it's not quite ready for. That's the difference between today and 2 years from now. Does that make any sense? Okay. So just some, you know, as you continue on your journey, doing whatever work you do to integrate and soften and open the heart and soften and integrate the brain with the heart, with the solar plexus and the power, the light and the power, with the softness, that's what's being asked of. Your body-mind, which of course we know is the more challenging aspect of the vehicle of a being. There's the light and the consciousness and the expansion, and then there's the body-mind, ego, personality. And they're, yes, they're all one thing, but also not, because we do live in a realm of duality where two different things are separate from each other in this realm. So there's just a few things to work through in this realm to get to that perfect ready place for this particular being. Mm-hmm. So it's about timing. It's not a no forever. It's a not right now, but soon.
Okay.
Specifically 42 for you.
Sure.
Is what I get.
Okay, great.
Thoughts, feelings, follow-ups on that?
Oof, you made me cry.
Sure.
What's the work? What do I got to do? What do I got to get out of there?
Let me just get words about it. So there's like a, okay. You know what you know when you have a light bulb and inside the light bulb, there's these two, I'm showing an image with my fingers that you can see. It looks like this. There's like two metal these guys and two other metal these guys, and between the two pairs there's electricity going between them, right, inside of a light bulb. If you imagine that this whole mechanism is your heart, the energy body of your heart, it's like they want it to go from it being two metallic two forked prongs, you know, four individual tines of metal that are zing energy between themselves, to they want the whole thing to be built of space. So light, feathery, spacious lightness that is less metallic. Metaphorically speaking, it's not literal metallic, because sometimes people can have literal metal in them, but not you here. Metaphorically, less metallic and fire and more wind, feathers, soft pillows is the sort of metaphor image. So it's just about, you know, you're such a healer yourself that you could do it on your own, where were you to spend some time every day asking the divine or consciousness, whatever words you prefer, to meet you in the places in your heart that could be softened. Again, we're not saying they have to go away, or they have to die, or they just want to be like kind of transmuted into a gentler version of themselves, up through the spinal column. They bring me all the way up into the back of the neck here and the brainstem. There are plenty of healers you could just say those words to, and they might be able to help you. You know, I'm certainly one, and you're certainly one. So time with the divine, where you say, everything making this kind of spark pluggy in here, in the heart. Could you meet me there? So you'd be feeling into the spark plugginess in there, and then letting the light hit you there to transmute it and soften it, and just processing with that for a little while. For you, once you're tapped into it and you're doing that, it's not going to take long because you're so connected. You know, it's also just normal childhood stuff, you know, like not like terrible, terrible trauma, more like just normal childhood stuff that everybody has some of. Parents, dad, I don't know, dad, more dad than mom. Anyway, that's a start for you there. Does that make sense? Questions on that?
Yeah. Yes. Thank you so much. I love that. And just a final thing, is there a being that wants to come through and is just kind of waiting, or is that relationship?
No.
Kind of, how does that work in that way?
Oh, well, there's no being now, and I think it's because consciousness wants this preparation work to happen. Mm-hmm. And also, let me just see, a little bit of relational work with your partner, maybe. There's something, just a little bit of relational work where the dynamic wants to be. They show it to me over here, like wood. That's not helpful, but it's like it wants to be softened a bit. This being, whatever being is going to, you know, this is going to be coming through, is looking for the experience of the ride through the chute down into the body to be pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want it a little less spark pluggy and a little more pillowy.
Got it. And is this like a must? Like, I must do this at 42? Or no, I just was like, that's not a thing, but.
No. No musts.
No musts.
Is this a must? No. They're like, didn't you just give a talk about free will?
I literally did.
That's how they talk. They're like, didn't you just say?
My humanity is showing.
Of course.
Amazing.
Cool.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, my pleasure. No,
that's wonderful. Right. I appreciate you.
That was a great bonus, Coda.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, let me close the records real quick. I want to thank the master's teachers, loved ones for their love and compassion. Lords of the Records for their point of view, and the Holy Spirit of Light for all knowledge and healing. I ask that you return all of Jocelyn Sage Mackenzie's energy to herself now, please. I ask that you return her to her complete human wholeness now. Oh. The Divine Portal and the Akashic Records of Jocelyn Sage Mackenzie are now closed. Amen. The Divine Portal and the Akashic Records of Jocelyn Sage Mackenzie are now closed. Amen. The Divine Portal and the Akashic Records of Jocelyn Sage Mackenzie are now closed. Amen. You're a delight.
You are.
Thank you for being here. We're all delights.
And you're reminding me, I forgot to say my closing, which is, I ask that the channel between us now be closed, but that you remain in a loving, protective shield of energy for the remainder of this day so that you may absorb and integrate these messages from spirit for the highest and greatest good for all. And with that, I say amen.
Amen.
Candle blown out.
Amen.
Thank you. This was so fun. You guys are awesome.
Thanks for being here. Check out Jocelyn's website. Go see her music. Get a reading. Do it, everybody.
Thank you.
Love you guys.
Bye. Have a great day. Nice to be here.
See yous. Do your work.
Do your work.
You do your work.
You do your work.
Bye, love.
Bye, lovey. Bye.
Were you asking for all of the answers? Say what? All of the answers? Yeah, all the answers.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @allanswerspod. Thank you.
Great. Where'd you lose me?
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.